This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Happy New Year to everybody. We're going to get to some NFL games from Sunday, as we didn't do a live show yesterday. Of course, a couple of bowl games yesterday, although the big one, obviously, will be next Monday. But we're going to start with the NFL and Black Monday, as people took out the hatchet and started cutting as of yesterday, as often happens right after the NFL season. First to go was Steve Spagnuolo of the St. Louis Rams. The Rams finished 2-14, 10-38 for Spagnuolo's 3 years. And look, he was the defensive coordinator for the Giants. He was the hot guy after the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. He's an excellent defensive coordinator. You thought he had his guy in place with Sam Bradford at quarterback. Of course, Bradford hurt this year on and off, but he just never could get over the hump. To make matters worse for the Rams, they're not getting the first pick in the draft, even though they were tied with Indianapolis at 2-14. We'll get to Indy in a minute. But Spagnuolo is fired, and already the rumors in New York are, will the Giants rehire him as the defensive coordinator? Now, Perry Fuel has been up and down in New York. Finally, with health on his defensive line, they looked really good against the Cowboys. Obviously, the Giants, in the biggest game of their season, hammered the Cowboys Sunday night in the biggest game of the Cowboys season as well. So does that give Fuel a reprieve? Well, we'll find out probably in the playoffs when the Giants go down to play, when Atlanta comes to the Meadowlands to play the Giants next week. We'll get into that later. Spagnuolo, the first to go. Raheem Morris also fired down at Tampa Bay. He was 17-31 in his 3 seasons, but I don't know what happened to Tampa this year, but they just kind of lost it. They did have some injuries, but they dropped their last 10. They got slaughtered in 5 or 6 games. It seemed that the team just didn't respond to Morris, certainly for the last two-thirds of the season. So Tampa Bay looking for a coach. The St. Louis Rams looking for a coach. More interesting and maybe bizarre is out in Indianapolis, where Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, fired Bill Polian, the vice chairman, and his son Chris Polian, the GM. Now, Bill Polian had been there for 14 seasons, given a lot of credit for getting Peyton Manning and building that kind of team that could play defense around Peyton Manning. For example, hiring, drafting Freeney to have the rushing defensive ends on the theory that Indianapolis would always be ahead late in the game, which when Peyton Manning was playing, Indianapolis was ahead for most of the time. But Bill Polian out as vice chairman after 14 seasons, fired by Jim Irsay yesterday. Irsay said that Jim Caldwell, the coach, being evaluated. Of course, Indianapolis, 2-14. It does show you how one guy can make a difference when that guy is Peyton Manning. But their defense also was terrible this year. So Caldwell is being evaluated. It certainly didn't seem like you would fire a guy like Polian after this season. I don't know if you'd fire a guy like Caldwell either. I mean, once Peyton Manning couldn't play, I think that took the heart out of this team. Not that they didn't play hard. They just weren't good enough, frankly. And then, they brought in Kerry Collins. That didn't work. Curtis Painter, that didn't work. Dan Orlovsky, he actually played okay, got them their 2 wins. But the Indianapolis has a bigger picture issue, of course, and that is going to be whether or not they'll draft Andrew Luck. They did win the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, if you will. Nobody knows. There's been no reports as whether there was a rift between Polian and Irsay as to what to do with the first draft pick. They really can't make any decisions until they have a better feel for the health of Peyton Manning. He really wanted to come back, I think, just to show them that he could play. The doctors kind of vetoed that idea, so that never happened. So as of right now, Polian out in Indianapolis, his son Chris Polian, the GM, out in Indianapolis, Jim Caldwell being evaluated, Peyton Manning, have to see what his health is. There's a $28 million payment coming up to Manning. I think it's not till March, but they'll have to make a decision on his health, and they'll also have to make a decision whether to draft Andrew Luck. It seems that a guy like Irsay does want to draft Andrew Luck. He certainly could be the quarterback for the next 10, 12 years, just as Peyton Manning has been for the last 10, 12 years for the Colts. And Luck is a can't-miss from everybody except from what I've heard, Phil Sims, who says he doesn't have the gun arm that everyone thinks he has. But we'll just have to see. Luck played well yesterday in a losing effort, and we'll get to those bowl games in a bit. But right now, Caldwell waiting to hear Polian and Polian out. Manning obviously was never cleared to play this season, and Indianapolis has a big decision to make. If they don't use the first pick to draft Luck, presumably they will trade that pick and get King's ransom to get players to put around Peyton Manning, because obviously they need a lot of help on the defensive side of the ball. Just because Peyton Manning comes back doesn't mean all will be better in Indianapolis. Also this morning, Chicago Bears just announced that they fired general manager Jerry Angelo. Angelo's been there a long time. Bears got off to a very good start, but once they lost Jay Cutler and refused to get another quarterback, they went with Caleb Haney, who did play well last year in a reserve role, but he was no good this year, and it just didn't work out for the Bears as they didn't make the playoffs. So GM Jerry Angelo, he gets fired. And again, this is what can happen when you lose your quarterback. Manning in Indianapolis certainly cost Polian and Polian their jobs, and maybe Caldwell. Losing Jay Cutler in Chicago, it says, I think, cost Jerry Angelo his job as the GM. So we'll just have to see what else shakes out. The next two fall, maybe, will be out in San Diego. Once again, the Chargers with a ton of talent. Didn't get the job done. North Turner, maybe GM A.J. Smith. Probably both will know tomorrow, Wednesday, what their future is. But again, it seems like every year there's a North Turner conversation and an A.J. Smith conversation. They never can seem to get over the hump despite having incredible talent. And frankly, in the past, not being in a very strong division. And finally, it's expected that the first coach to be hired will be Jeff Fisher, who took the year off this year. He's going to interview with Miami and St. Louis this week, and he will probably be the first coach to be hired by somebody. But again, if you're a good coach, I don't know if you want the Rams job. I don't know if Tampa Bay, Josh Freeman looked like a really good young quarterback last year, did not have a good year this year. To me, you're kind of looking at who the quarterback is. At St. Louis, you have Bradford, if he can stay on the field. At Miami, it's unclear whether Matt Moore is the answer, although he did play pretty well. The Dolphins started 0-7, beat the Jets on the final day of the season to cost the Jets any hope of a playoff spot. It seems like everybody else lost after the Jets lost, but they didn't make the playoffs either. So is Matt Moore the answer down in Miami? Well, somebody's going to have to make that decision. But it'll be a GM decision, not a coach decision. But you can bet if a guy like Jeff Fisher is walking into the conversation, walking in for an interview, there has to be some kind of quarterback discussion, because it more and more than ever before, I think, in this league, your coaching success is tied to your quarterback. So you need a Brady or a Breeze. Some would say a Phillip Rivers, but he and North Turner have not gotten the job done. But Jeff Fisher apparently will be the first coach hired. He's already doing the interview rounds. I don't know if he's holding out for Indianapolis. It'll be interesting to see if the Colts do fire Jim Caldwell. That looks like a pretty interesting job, because you're either going to have Peyton Manning and or Andrew Luck. Would you want the Chargers job? I would want both of those jobs before I'd want the Rams job and the Tampa Bay job, because although Bradford and St. Louis and Freeman and Tampa Bay are good young quarterbacks, there's real questions now about whether they're going to be good enough to be the next generation of Breeze, of Brady, of Peyton Manning. You know, I would even throw Eli Manning, watching him all year, into the mix for this season. You know, they had that big thing at the beginning of the year with Eli. Was he an elite quarterback? They asked him. He said he was. And I'll say, watching him his entire career, this year is the first time he's really played like an elite quarterback. Yes, he had back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons before this year, but, you know, 25 picks last year. I always viewed him as a good to very good quarterback. This year, he was an elite quarterback. Set the NFL record for touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And I think saved Tom Coughlin's job. I don't know if he would have been fired if they lost to Dallas, but certainly there would have been a consideration. You know, Tom Coughlin has never won a playoff game in New York except for the Super Bowl year. Now they're going to be favored at home over the Atlanta Falcons and have a good chance. Again, in the world of today where you have two wild cards, you have a team, teams, good teams, not great teams, but good teams like the Cowboys and the Giants playing for a playoff berth. Winner gets a playoff berth at 9-7. Loser goes home at 8-8. You have a team like the Denver Broncos where Tim Tebow did not play well the last few weeks, losing to Kansas City 7-3, losing their last three, but they back into the playoffs at 8-8. You saw Seattle last year, 7-9, actually got a home game against New Orleans and beat New Orleans. This is where the mediocre part of the mediocre football league comes in. And if the Eagles could have won at 8-8, the Eagles might have been the team that would be a Super Bowl contender at 8-8. So it's just amazing to me how in 2011 you can be pretty bad. I mean, the Giants lost 5-6, still controlled their destiny, beat the Jets, beat the Cowboys, won the NFC East, didn't get in as a wild card, won the NFC East, won a division at 9-7. Again, Denver 8-8, won a division. Last year, Seattle 7-9, won a division. To me, going back a number of years, it's just a hard way to see how poorly you can play and still make the playoffs. You know, Cincinnati had to win to get in, but they lost to the Ravens and got in anyway. The Broncos had to win to clinch, but they lost to the Chiefs and got in anyway. It's just stunning to me how, again, in 2011, how poorly you can be. I'm sorry, 8-8 teams shouldn't be in the playoffs. 9-7 teams shouldn't be in the playoffs. You know, it doesn't happen as poorly in baseball. We'll see next year with the two wild cards. But imagine if a team that was 81-81 made the playoffs. I think the Mets made the playoffs once. They were like, 82-79 in 1973. But even that shouldn't happen. But there's going to be more of that in baseball next year if they have two wild cards. The point being, same in hockey, same in basketball. You look at the NBA, watch the race for the 7th and 8th seed. Those teams might not even be .500. And I understand you have to keep interest in all your sports, but again, it's just disconcerting, disappointing, that you can play so poorly the whole season, and make the playoffs, 8-8, 9-7. I mean, to me, that's not the way it should be. That is the system we have. It's all about money. It's all about having more teams in the playoffs, and more important than that, it's all about having a number of teams with a shot at the playoffs. So you could be the Eagles. And even though you were 4-8, if you ran the table, which they did, you had a chance to make the playoffs. There was a chance. You saw the permutations and combinations. If Dallas, the Giants, and the Eagles all wound up at 8-8, the Eagles would have been in the playoffs. But once the Giants beat the Jets, if they had beaten Dallas or if Dallas had beaten them, they were going to have 9 wins, so they were going to clinch the division. So, amazing as it sounds, that's the way it is in football now. That's the way it's going to continue to be in the world of the NFL. They kind of want to have a salary cap and have everybody finish 8-8. In the perfect world, everybody would be like 7-9, 9-7, and somewhere in between, and everybody would be alive for a playoff berth to the last day of the season. That's what the NFL is looking for, and to me, that's very disappointing. This is Steve Kallis Show. We're at Sports Talk Network. We'll be back after these messages.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
NHL Weekly. Monday nights at 6 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Just want to summarize a few of the NFL games that were a big, important Sunday. The biggest, I thought, Cowboys at the Meadowlands to play the Giants. Winner wins the NFC East. Loser goes home. It was all Giants early, 21-0. They jump out. Tony Romo brings them back to 21-14. But the Giants pulled away. Again, the Cowboys have an incredible capacity to lose big games. It really is stunning. And you can't blame Tony Romo. 29 for 37, 280 yards, two touchdowns. Manning was fantastic. 24 for 33, 346 yards, three touchdowns. Obviously, a star is born in New York this year. If you watched any of Victor Cruz the other day, six receptions for 178 yards and a touchdown. He has an ability to turn these little seven-yard out routes into touchdowns. 2 weeks ago against the Jets, 99 yards from the Giant one. And then, of course, Sunday night against Dallas, he had a 76-yard scoring. Again, caught the ball 7 yards downfield, turned it into a 74-yard touchdown. I apologize. So the Giants move on. The Cowboys go home. Cowboys, lots of talent. You know, it was interesting. Emmitt Smith had those pretty scathing, but I thought true comments about the mental toughness of the Cowboys. And again, you can't lay this one on Tony Romo. I thought he played pretty well. He cost them a couple of games early. That Jet game early in the season with just bizarre decisions. But overall, Romo, I think, is a very good NFL quarterback. But the Cowboys, with all that ability, and this is without an Eagle team in the playoffs now, you know, next year it's only going to get harder for the Giants and the Cowboys, because I think the Eagles now, I think Andy Reid's going to stay. From all reports, he is. I think they're going to be very, very tough next year, only 8-8 this year. But again, 9-7 won that division. If you were told that at the beginning of the year, you would have been shocked to think that 9-7 was going to win the NFC East. Just a few other games quickly. Ravens beat the Bengals 24-16. The Ravens now the number 2 seed. The Steelers dropped down to the number 5 seed. The Bengals had to win to be assured of getting in. They played well. They played hard. They had opportunities. They lose the game, but they back in to make the playoffs anyway. The Steelers beat the Browns 13-9, hoping the Ravens would lose, but that didn't work out. So the Steelers are the number 5 seed. Again, the Broncos at home, trying to be over 500. Lost to the Chiefs 7-3. Seems to me Romeo Crennel is going to be the coach of the Chiefs if he wants to be the coach of the Chiefs. He beat the Packers. He could have beaten the Raiders on a field goal that was blocked. He did beat the Broncos. Tim Tebow was terrible, 6 for 22, 60 yards, and a fumble. You know, you got to be careful now. If Tebow starts turning the ball over, he's not going to last long. But he did take the Broncos to the playoffs. Again, 1-4 when he started. 8-8, so they wound up 7-4 with him at the helm, so you have to give him credit for that. Raiders needing a win at home against San Diego, get hammered 38-26 by the Chargers, who are that enigmatic team. They can beat anyone in the league one day, they can lose to anyone in the league the other day. Patriots spot the Bills 21 points as the Bills spotted the Patriots 21 points, and then the Bills came back and beat the Patriots when they were down 21-0. The Patriots came back and slaughtered the Bills when the Patriots were down 21-0. Final score 49-21. Brady 23 for 35, 338 yards, 3 TDs. He not only goes over 5,000 yards, he goes by Dan Marino, but of course, the Saints. And Drew Brees, 28 for 35, 389 yards and 5 TDs as they slaughtered the Panthers 45-17. So Brees shatters Marino's record after breaking it in 5 weeks, tacks on another 400 yards after that. The Lions-Packers was a fascinating game. The Lions really wanted it to be the number 5 seed. Everyone thought the Lions would beat the Packers. The Packers sat Rodgers and a bunch of other guys, but Matt Flynn, 31 for 44, 480 yards, 6 TDs, only one pick. Packers 45, Lions 41. Interesting now, a lot of people are saying Aaron Rodgers should not be the MVP because look at what the backup did. But the reality is Rodgers is the MVP. He played out of his mind all year. I think he had 6 picks for the whole year. He was just unbelievable, and he is the MVP. The Packers did go 15-1, and Matt Flynn's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. Remember last year, he almost beat the Patriots in New England. Matt Flynn hasn't played much, but he's a good NFL quarterback, and he's going to get some money from somebody. I think he'll be a starter next year. Stafford for the Lions, 36 for 59 for 520 yards, and on the last drive, where if you saw the game, he got picked off at the end. That was the, you know, for all intents and purposes, the final play of the game. But on the pass before, Stafford went over 5,000 yards. So think about it. You had three quarterbacks go over 5,000 yards. We could do 6 hours on this, but everyone is saying correctly that when Breeze shatters the record and Brady beats the record and Stafford goes over 5,000 yards, you can't really compare it to Marino, who threw for 5,084 back in 1984. And I agree with that, but I'd even take it one step further. Joe Namath was the first guy to go over 4,000 yards, and he did it in a 14-game season. And if you ever saw a Namath play or even see a film of him now, quick release, presence in the pocket, very intelligent guy, gun for an arm. You know, I think you can make a case that Namath's 4,000 yards is more impressive than Marino's 5,000. Remember, Namath only did it in 14 games. And remember another thing. When he did it in 14 games, if you threw for 300 yards, that was an unbelievable game. Today, if you throw for 300 yards, people like yawn. 400 yards is what you're looking for today. So I think there's been a massive, look, the rules are much different. The game has changed totally, no question. But I think you can make a case that Namath's 4,000 yards is more impressive than Marino's 5,000 and more impressive than Breeze's 5,500 or whatever he finished with. So it's very, very interesting to me. Oh, and one other thing on that Packer game, because Matt Flynn, I think, look, I'll say it again, he almost beat the Patriots last year, but Matt Flynn became only the second quarterback in the history of the Green Bay Packers to throw for 400 yards in a game and five touchdowns. And, you know, everybody rounded up the usual suspects to see who the other guy was. Was it Aaron Rodgers? No. Was it Brett Favre? No. For your old-timers, was it Bart Starr? No. The only other Packer quarterback to throw for 400 yards and five touchdowns was Don Horn in 1969. So, very interesting. But, again, the passing numbers now are like video game numbers. They're fantasy football numbers. You can't even fathom them sometimes. And it's not because you're losing and you throw for 400 now. It's because both guys are throwing for 400. Combined for passing yards, Stafford and Flynn threw for 1,000 yards. Now, the official number is not 1,000 because you take off for sacks. I think the official number was like 981 yards or something. But think about that now. 1,000 yards for a quarterback when Namath played, that would be five good games. If you threw for 200 yards back when Namath played, that was a good game. 250, excellent. 300 was, oh, wow. 300 is like over 400 today. So, again, you need a little context when you look at these things. But, again, just another fascinating stat to me, Matt Flynn and Don Horn, the only Green Bay quarterbacks ever to throw for five touchdowns and 400 yards in a game. 49ers beat the Rams, number two seed, 49ers 34, Rams 27. Bears beat the Vikings 17-13 to get to 500, but a huge loss. Urlacher on one of the final plays of the game tore his ACL. That's a big problem because you can't expect him to be ready for the beginning of next season. And if he is, I don't think it'll be the Brian Urlacher that we have come to watch. Eagles bury the Redskins 34-10 to get to 500. Colts win the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, lose to the Jaguars 19-13. The Jets had to have a win. The Dolphins, who started 0-7, finished 6-10. They beat the Jets 19-17. The Jets, with all the guaranteed Super Bowl, and boy, is Rex Ryan taking a pounding in New York today and yesterday. The Jets finishes 8-8 out of the playoffs. Cardinals beat the Seahawks in overtime 23-20 to get back to 500. I thought the Cardinals were going to be a lot better. They had injuries, et cetera, but again, it's the old everybody has injuries, so you can't really blame anything on injuries. Falcons getting ready for their playoff game against the Giants, buried the Buccaneers 45-24. Again, Buccaneers were 4-2. They finished 4-12. That's why Raheem Morris got fired. So that's pretty much it for the NFL. A couple of quick NFL notes, though. Rashard Mendenhall hurt his ankle against the Browns. He's out for the season. He will not play in the playoffs. That's a big deal. No Mendenhall. Big Ben still has that bad ankle. So Pittsburgh is going to be a little banged up. They won't have their they do have Isaac Redman. He's pretty good, but he's not Mendenhall. And again, in New York, the big, Santonio Holmes was apparently benched. You know, I say apparently because Rex Ryan said he didn't know anything about it. Apparently he was benched for arguing with Mark Sanchez earlier in the week and complaining in the huddle and yelling at teammates on the sidelines. Ryan, in a press conference yesterday, reportedly cried at the final team meeting. He said yesterday at a press conference, quote, "I don't think I have the pulse of our team," close quote. And look, I think we've seen the best of where this Jet team is going. Back-to-back AFC championship games, they lost a lot of quality guys, a lot of quality leaders. You know, is Tomlinson going to come back? Tomlinson isn't anywhere near what he was, but he is a good team leader. Look, they lost a lot of guys over the last 2 years. Real leaders. Tony Richardson, the fullback, you never hear anything about him. Alan Faneca, who was still playing at a high level. Cotchery went to the Steelers and apparently wanted out of New York because he didn't like going to the wide receivers meetings, if you can imagine that. They've just lost Thomas Jones, excellent running back and a quiet leader. The Jets, to me, just lost too many guys, both players on the field and in the clubhouse. And they really went out of their way to get, I don't want to say bad guys, but certainly guys who seem to think more of themselves. You know, Santonio Holmes was the MVP of the Super Bowl, and the Steelers didn't even want to keep him. There's a reason for that. So the Jets have a ton of talent, but they got issues now. And as we've discussed all year, the improvement arrow on the Mark Sanchez meter never went up this year. It never went up. Now, for the rest of his career, you'll hear that he won 4 road playoff games in his first two seasons, and good for him. And Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, getting a lot of grief in New York. Looks like he's going to get fired. It looks like the Jets hope he gets a head coaching job so it can be nice. But it's hard to believe they're going to hire Schottenheimer as a head coach now or for this season with that offense. And I don't think it's his fault. I've said enough. You know, Brian Schottenheimer is getting unbelievable grief in New York. But I'll tell you what, if you go back and look at the films of Sanchez the first 2 years, I thought he was protected by brilliant play calling by Schottenheimer. You had to move the pocket. You had to go play action. You had to put them in a position, throw on first down. I thought he actually did a good job. Now, he didn't do a good job this year. It looks like he's going to get fired, but I think they're hoping he gets promoted upstairs, i.e. a coaching job. Apparently, he's going to interview for the Jacksonville Jaguars job this week. But it's hard to believe they're going to bring him back. He's just under incredible pressure, and I don't think he'll be back one way or the other. Jets want to put a happy face on it if he becomes coach of the Jaguars, for example. Oh, he deserves it. He was great, blah, blah, blah. Quickly, the playoffs next Saturday, 4:30 on NBC, Bengals at the Texans. You know, I think the Bengals can definitely win this game, by the way. Texans will be playing their third or fourth quarterback. They do have a good defense. They are at home. But we'll discuss that later in the week. Then Saturday, Bengals at the Texans, that's the first game. Sunday at 4:30 on CBS, Steelers at the Broncos. Next Saturday, 8 o'clock at night, Lions at New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is virtually unbeatable at home. And then Sunday at 1 p.m., Atlanta goes to the Meadowlands to play the Giants. Again, we'll talk more about them during the week. But those are your 4 wild card games next weekend, wild card weekend in the National Football League. We'll get to some bowl games. We'll get to a little basketball. We'll even get to the amazing, if you watched it, and I hope you did, the NHL Winter Classic outdoors down at Citizens Bank Park in Philly, a fantastic game. We'll get to all of that right after this. This is Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reiss, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Holiday shopping has never been easier thanks to Best Buy and SportsTalkNetwork.com. Free shipping, free store pickup, daily deals, and Best Buy's extended holiday price match and return guarantee now through January 24th are waiting for you by clicking the Best Buy tile on any SportsTalkNetwork.com webpage. Order your gifts online and pick them up in as little as 45 minutes from your local Best Buy. Laptops to desktops, iPods to iPads, TVs, home entertainment systems and appliances, and much more. Visit SportsTalkNetwork.com, click the Best Buy tile, and start your holiday shopping today.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to look at a few of the college bowl games, and this is the perfect example this year why you need, I know it's not going to happen, but why you need some kind of playoff. And we've talked a little about LSU-Alabama. If Alabama just beats LSU on a last-second field goal on a neutral field, how can they be the national champions when LSU beat Alabama in Alabama? But if they had even a 14 playoff this year, yesterday they had number 3 Oklahoma State at number 4 Stanford, or not at neutral site Fiesta Bowl, but, you know, I'd make a case that Oregon is better than Stanford. You know, it would have been nice to have number 1 LSU, we'll say play number 4 Stanford or Oregon if they were number 4, and have Alabama play Oklahoma State, because a lot of people think Oklahoma State got the shaft not being in the game. And don't forget, Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State, I think it was 3 days after that plane crash had killed the Oklahoma State women's basketball coach and his top assistant. And clearly they were a different team. And then, don't forget, I mean, Iowa State lost to Rutgers last week. I'm not knocking Rutgers. They have a nice program, but they're certainly not a top 10 team. So had Oklahoma State run the table, you can make a case, had there been no plane crash, which is a little morbid, that the championship game would be LSU and Oklahoma State. Now, you can make the strong case that LSU and Alabama are the two best teams in the country, and you're probably right. But this is the kind of thing where you'd like to see. I don't think you could have more than a 4 or 8 team tournament. You can't have 32, 64. You can't make it like basketball. It can't be like that because of the nature of football. But say the teams during the regular season played one less game, and then you had an 8-team tournament. You could have the bowl games as the tournament games. They could, the top 4 bowls could alternate having the championship game. But you know what the problems are? People won't travel to go see the 1 play the 8 or the 2 play the 7 if they think their team is going to be in the finals. They're not going to go to 3 different venues 3 weeks in a row. And I understand that. Having said that, to me, this whole system now is unfair. And especially this year. But in any event, an excellent game yesterday. Andrew Luck in his final game. Oklahoma State against Stanford. A back-and-forth game. You know, Oklahoma State has their own very good quarterback, Brandon Weeden. They have probably the best receiver in the country for Oklahoma State and Justin Blackmon. And while Stanford was up most of the game, at the end of the day, in overtime, it was Oklahoma State 41, Stanford 38. Stanford wound up missing 3 field goals. Give Luck a lot of credit. After Oklahoma State came down the field to tie up the game, Luck went 5 for 5 on the final drive in regulation, took Stanford down the field. Jordan Williamson had a 34-yard field goal attempt to win the game for Stanford and hooked it left. He would miss another field goal in overtime. He wound up missing 3 field goals for the game. Oklahoma State comes back, and Quinn Sharp kicks essentially an extra point field goal to win the game in overtime. Oklahoma State, number 3, Oklahoma State 41, Stanford 38. But again, so what does this mean? Stanford will drop a little in the polls. Oklahoma State maybe will get to number 2. They're not going to get to number 1. Again, if you had even a 4 team this year, and I would have voted for Oregon to be 4th, not 5th, but if you had even a 4 team where 1 plays 4, 2 plays 3, the game I'd like to see is Oklahoma State against Alabama. That would be the fair game to see who should be in the championship game. You wouldn't expect Stanford or even Oregon to beat LSU. LSU beat Oregon in Louisiana the first week of the year. Maybe Oregon made a poor scheduling decision. But in any event, Oklahoma State 41, Stanford 38, Brandon Whedon for Oklahoma State 29 for 42 for 399 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Andrew Luck for Stanford 27 for 31 for 347 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. The star of the game and the offensive MVP was Oklahoma State wide receiver Justin Blackmon, who won the Biletnikoff Award again, second year in a row he won it, best wide receiver in college football. He had eight receptions for 186 yards and three touchdowns, and if you watch the game or even saw the highlights, there were just some amazing catches and runs by Blackmon. I mean, he's unbelievable. So people still think Luck will be the first quarterback taken. You know, Griffin from Baylor won the Heisman. Some people are saying he should be picked ahead of Luck. Luck is really more the traditional pocket passer, if you will. Griffin more, not as big and strong as Cam Newton, but probably runs faster and has a better arm, some people think. So Griffin's coming out. Luck is coming out. Justin Blackmon announced right after the game that he's coming out. So a lot going on. But again, to me, these bowl games, other than one against two next week, and even that's a little anticlimactic in the sense that, again, if Alabama wins a close game, how are they better than LSU when LSU beat them in Tuscaloosa? But yesterday, Oklahoma State beat Stanford 41-38. Maybe they can get to number two. Don't know that it really matters. Again, just another reason why you'd like to have, or why at least I think you should have a playoff in college football. Another interesting game, number 10 Wisconsin, number 5 Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Oregon wins the Rose Bowl 45-38. Obviously, Wisconsin with Russell Wilson, a very good team. Oregon, a very good team. You knew this was going to be kind of a run-and-shoot kind of game. Wilson, who was the NC State quarterback, who found, I guess, a graduate major at Wisconsin that they didn't have at NC State, so he could transfer and not lose a year. Yesterday, Wilson, 19 for 25, 296 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Darren Thomas for Oregon, 17 for 23, 268 yards, three TDs, one pick. Monty Ball, who was a Heisman candidate, 32 rushes for 164 yards and a touchdown for Wisconsin. But Oregon with LaMichael James and DeAnthony Thomas. DeAnthony Thomas had two rushes for 155 yards and two touchdowns, one of 91 yards, one of 64 yards. Unbelievable. LaMichael James, 25 rushes for 159 yards and a touchdown. So there was a lot going on for Oregon, but the game ended, if you watch this game, on a strange note. Wilson, down seven, gets the kickoff in two plays. They had, like, I think it was like 29 seconds left in two plays. He moved the ball about 40 yards, and actually there was a completion. You know, in college, the clock stops on the first down, but it doesn't start to run again when you snap the ball, necessarily. It starts to run again when the referee starts it running again. So if you saw the final play, Wilson completes a pass in the middle of the field. No timeouts left, of course, for Wisconsin. They rush up, and they have two choices from the 25. They can either throw the ball 25 yards into the end zone, or they can try and quickly spike the ball. But, of course, if you decide to spike the ball with only 2 seconds, you risk having the clock run out, and that's exactly what happened. And they reviewed it, and they showed it in slow motion, stop action on the telecast 5 times. And unfortunately, Wilson did not spike the ball until after zeros came up on the clock. So the game ended in a bizarre note. I'm not sure why they didn't just throw it up into the end zone. Obviously, they did want to take time to come up with a play. But, you know, it was almost like a Hail Mary situation, except it was from the 25. But the game ended, again, on an anticlimactic note. Nothing happened. They tried to spike it. It was viewed. They didn't spike it. And it was reviewed and stated that they didn't spike it in time. So that was the game. Couple of other bowl games quickly. Penn State really didn't show up at the beginning of this Ticket City Bowl in Dallas. Houston buries Penn State 30-14. You know, Case Keenum in the first half, 380 passing yards. They were up 24-7. Houston was over Penn State. Patrick Edwards had 200 receiving yards in the first half. He had two touchdowns. Case Keenum threw for 532 yards. Now, Penn State, you know the tough year they've had. They just weren't ready to play. Rob Bolden had to be the substitute quarterback because their quarterback got beat up in a fight with a teammate. I mean, it was just as bad as it could be for Penn State. Bradley, the interim coach, probably knows he's not going to get the job now. Most people are calling for a complete cleaning of house at Penn State. And you know, to me, that's a little sad. I don't disagree with it, but it's a little sad because some of these guys maybe didn't know. A lot of these guys coached 10, 20, 30 years, Tom Bradley being one of them, 30 years with Joe Paterno. But I think they're all going to be shown the door. Jay Paterno, Joe's Paterno's son, is the quarterback's coach. Unlikely he'll be back. Houston 30, Penn State 14. Of course, Case Keenum, one of the best offensive, passing quarterbacks in the country, had another big day yesterday. Another interesting game, just quickly, because now you're talking about number 17, Michigan State, at number 16, Georgia. Michigan State wins in triple overtime, 33-30. We won't even get into overtime for college now, but Blair Walsh of Georgia missed a couple of field goals, missed a 42-yarder that would have given them the win in overtime, had his final field goal blocked in the third overtime after Michigan State had kicked a field goal. Kirk Cousins for Michigan State, 27 for 50 for 300 yards. Michigan State came back from a 16-0 deficit to win that game, Michigan State 33, Georgia 30. Did want to mention just one other game from last week. Baylor came back to beat Washington in the highest-scoring bowl game ever. Baylor 67, Washington 56. Washington was up 11 at the half and lost by 11. Of course, we mentioned this because Robert Griffin III was 24 for 33 for 295 yards and one touchdown. His counterpart, Keith Price of Washington, who's very good, 23 for 37, 438 yards and four touchdowns. But at the end of the day, Baylor comes back to beat Washington 67 to 56. And again, if you don't think the offenses have taken over pro football and college football, you need to think again. Couple of other ball games quickly. Florida beat Ohio State 24-17. First time since 1897 that Ohio State has lost seven games. Of course, here comes Urban Meyer. He'll turn that all around. And number 9, South Carolina beats number 20, Nebraska 30-11. Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, coaching South Carolina. First time they've ever had 11 wins in a season. South Carolina wins the Capital One Bowl at Orlando. Want to go quickly to the NHL. Just want to talk about the Winter Classic, which was really, again, I hope you had a chance to watch it, really an amazing game, played outdoors. You know, they started this, I think, 4 years ago. The Rangers down 2-0 to the Flyers. Braden Schenn scores his first goal of his NHL career for the Flyers, and Claude Giroux, leading the NHL in scoring, scored his 18th. Flyers up 2-0, but Mike Rupp, not a goal scorer, scores not one but two goals, his second and third of the year. And then Brad Richards in the third period scores on a rebound from a Dubinsky shot. Brad Richards for the Rangers scores his 14th of the year. Rangers 3, Flyers 2 at Citizens Bank Park, outdoors, of course, in Philadelphia. The King, Henrik Lundqvist, was unbelievable in the goal. Philly has a goalie problem now. Bobrovsky started instead of Brizgalov, who has been in a slump lately. Big news for Ranger fans and the NHL, frankly. Mark Stahl, the star defenseman of the Rangers, one of the many Stahl brothers in the NHL. He played his first game. He looked pretty good, you know, a little rusty, but he looked pretty good. He had the concussion-like symptoms that have kept him out all season. But here's what I found fascinating, and John Tortorella, the coach of the Rangers, even alluded to it after the game. Just some bizarre calls very late in the game. Called disgusting, that's a quote from Tortorella, but I mean, McDonough, the Ranger defenseman, was actually checked into his own goal, knocked the goal off the moorings, and the Rangers were giving a delay game penalty to give the Flyers a power play down 3-2. Just bizarre. Then very, very late in the game, with like 20 seconds left, there was a scramble in front. McDonough slid into the crease and seemed clearly to swipe the puck away. You can't close your glove over the puck in the crease if you're not the goalie. That's a penalty shot. It did not look at all like McDonough did that. Nevertheless, with 19.6 seconds, a penalty shot was awarded to the Flyers. Daniel Briere takes it again. If he scores, there's overtime. But Lundqvist stopped Briere's penalty shot. And then the Flyers, even in the last 19.6 seconds, which seemed like 40 seconds to me, yes, I'm a Ranger fan, but my goodness, it just seemed... It really did seem like NBC and or the NHL wanted overtime in that game, and it did seem like the refs wanted to have overtime. I mean, there was that call, if you saw it late, Callahan with an empty net for the Flyers, Callahan of the Rangers goes around the defenseman. The defenseman just grabs him. Callahan, trying to keep his feet, falls backwards, and the referee sends them both off. Just bizarre. The Flyer guy got sent off correctly for interference, but Callahan, they said he took a dive. You know, they have that penalty in hockey. If the ref thinks you're taking a dive, he can give you a penalty. It was ridiculous. They later changed that penalty to holding the stick, which is, again, even more embarrassing. But I really thought that the refs were doing everything they could to give the Flyers an opportunity. If you watch the last 5 minutes of that game, maybe they'll show it on the NHL Network or Versus, which is now NBC. NBC launching a 24-hour TV sports station now, which is used to be Versus. If they show that game again, you should just watch the last 5 minutes, some of the strangest officiating I've ever seen. Quickly to the NBA. Rangers, by the way, best record in hockey, most points now, really on a roll this year after that shaky beginning. Quickly in the NBA, Oklahoma City and Miami were previously undefeated, both lost yesterday. Now Dallas beat Oklahoma City. They had them beat last week, but Durant hit that long three to beat Dallas. Dallas beats Oklahoma City yesterday rather easily, 100-87 in Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki, 26 points, Durant, 27 for Oklahoma City. Atlanta beats the Heat in Miami. Atlanta's pretty good. You know, Tracy McGrady, playing for Atlanta, hits 13 points, scores 13 points in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, 16 for the game, 3 for 3 from 3 in the fourth. He'll take some pressure off of Joe Johnson, who had 21. Atlanta 100, the Heat 92, first loss of the year for the Heat. Minnesota beat San Antonio 106-96. Kevin Love, the walking double-double, 24 points, 15 rebounds. Huge loss for San Antonio. Manu Ginobili reaches in and breaks his hand out indefinitely, according to the Spurs. Boston beats the Wizards 100-92 to get back to 500. Ray Allen 6-for-7-3, 27 points for the game. The Knicks in trouble with no Amari Stoudemire, lose to the lowly Raptors 90-85 at the Garden. No Amari, so the Knicks throw up 35 three-pointers. Obviously not a way to win a game. Raptors 90, Knicks 85. A couple of quick baseball notes. Hanley Ramirez has now agreed to move to third so Jose Reyes can play short for the Marlins. Originally, Ramirez didn't want to do it, but of course, Ozzie Guillen has come in, the new manager, and smoothed things over. And also, it was reported today that the Washington Nationals look like the leading team to get Prince Fielder. Fielder has said he wants a contract as long as Albert Pujols's, which of course is for 10 years. But right now, the Nationals, who will be very good next year, looking to add Prince Fielder, which would be, my goodness, what a division that NL East will be then. TV tonight, Red Wings at Stars in hockey. This is now the NBC Sports Network, formerly Versus, 8 o'clock Eastern. Basketball, NBA TV, which I'm told now is pretty much national, 8 o'clock Hawks at Bulls, 10:30 Rockets at Lakers. College football, the Sugar Bowl tonight, number 13 Michigan against number 11 Votech. And college basketball tonight, Louisville at St. John, 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPNU. Michigan State at Wisconsin, 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at Sports Talk Network. www.mytv.com.